Hello, listeners. Welcome to the Mega C-Suite Stories. I'm your host, Charmaine Tan, and I have with me a very special guest today, Vanessa McCamley. So we first met when you were emceeing the Australian Women in Security Awards night back in 2020, and you were announcing my category for the One to Watch Award. So time flies because we are now in, at the end of 2021. So lovely to have you on the show today, Vanessa.
Oh, it is a pleasure to be here with you, Charmaine.
Thank you very much. And Vanessa, you're not just an MC, but you're also a coach, a keynote speaker, a trainer in the area of neuroscience of leadership. And a later buddy just told me that you've also published a book called Rewire for Success. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you. It's a big milestone.
That's excellent. And actually, for our listeners, so, you know, in our past episodes, we have heard from many CSX on the topics of risk, cybersecurity, and leadership. But today, we will take a look at leadership from a very different lens. But first, before we start, Vanessa, if you can tell us more about your personal story and how did you even get into this field?
Yes. So it started for me actually in the IT industry. So I come from over 20 years of working in IT in business and leadership. And it was my passion for managing and leading people and helping people to achieve results when year after year, reaching double digit growth year on and year out, I eventually got burnt out and I got sick.
Wow.
And it was at this moment that I decided that there had to be another way to be able to achieve results without impacting our health and well-being. And at the time, my mentor in New Zealand, he, working in the same IT business, he also got sick and burnt out as well. But the difference was, is that he actually died at 45 years of age and left a family and kids behind. And it really resonated with me to go, there had to be another way to actually achieve results in a brain-friendly way. I was then later on working in IT security, where I was the head of sales, productivity and enablement for Trend Micro for a number of years. And again, really helped that organization grow by 30% in revenue within 18 months. And then I decided that I'd go and start my own business, helping people to reach results. And one of my clients at the time was Dimension Data. And I was working with these amazing consultants that they were partnering with in South Africa. And they said to me, Vanessa, you've got to really read these books. And it was on the neuroscience of leadership. So they told me what to go and buy. I started reading it and I could not put it down. It was just so invigorating for me because obviously working in IT, very left brain, not saying that we don't use our right brain creativity, but our left brain, logical, rational, science-based. And to me, the neuroscience really, really stuck with me because it wasn't fluffy. And so I started reading and I read so many books. I was like, I need more. It was like I had this hunger. So I went back and studied neuroscience. So I was running a business, running a family. I now have a 17-year-old son.
Wow.
Who is dyslexic. And so for me, I really thought to myself, there has to be another way. I was so curious. My brain was so curious that there had to be another way to reach goals and targets, because this whole reaching double-digit growth year on year really was the catalyst for illness for myself and for my mentor and for others that I have known throughout my journey. And so for me, I went on this journey to go, okay, how can I actually help people in brain-friendly ways? So after studying the neuroscience of leadership and performance, I started adding that into my business, coaching people, organizations, teams, bridging the gap between what the business wants to achieve from a results perspective and how to execute it in brain-friendly ways through their people. And technology has been a really key part of that, because I really see the whole transformation in organizations being threefold is the business requirements and growth. The second one is the technology to support that. And the third one is about how do we execute that through our people?
Yes,
and particularly now as technology is changing a lot, particularly in that AI space. So it's really interesting to be able to go, well, how can we actually help people be the best version of themselves and achieve results, but without having burnout? And so preventative mental health is just a passion of mine, and I want to make sure that I can help as many people as I can.
Vanessa, you've gotten me so intrigued. I really love the term brain-friendly way. And once again, congrats on your book. Can you tell us more about your book and also give us a few sneak peek about what is it all about and how leaders can benefit from it? Maybe some brain-friendly ways to achieve outcomes?
Yeah, absolutely. So the book is called Rewire for Success. And I created this as part of my COVID New Year's resolution. So when COVID hit in 2020, to be honest with you, normally my threat response, which is that whole fight, flight, freeze, I'm normally a fighter. And for me, when COVID first hit, I was definitely in freeze mode, which is very unusual for me because I probably operate in bouncing back in that fight mode probably 75% of the time. But I went into freeze. And a lot of my business was impacted. A lot of events were cancelled. And I was like, oh, my God, what do I do? And I thought, I've spent 8 years building up my business for it to all of a sudden be stationary. And it's such a big passion, a big part of my life. I felt lost. And so what I decided to do, I was exercising when we were exercising only in pairs with my friend from the gym, who's a business owner as well. And we both said we're going to create a New Year's resolution. And so that New Year's resolution was for me to create a book to help people through this time. We wanted to have to make a positive difference in the lives of others.
Love that.
So through COVID, we actually did something really positive. So she set her goals and I've helped her and she's helped me with mine. And there's been many a moments writing the book where I've had brain block, writer's block, every type of block, imposter syndrome block. I've had them all throughout writing the book. But I started writing it in May last year and I've published it in October this year. And it's called Rewire for Success. It's an easy guide for using neuroscience to improve choices for work, life, and well-being. And there were four easy steps. I really wanted to make neuroscience, because some people think of the word neuroscience, it's very technical. And for IT audiences and security audience, they will love it, right? But I wanted to make it so easy because people are so time poor that they could be able to read it and not have to read the same thing over and over and over. Because some of the neuroscience books that I was reading that I mentioned earlier before, I had to read some of the pages over and over and over to really understand it. And so I wanted to make it really easy. It's four easy steps to implement, which is called the food framework. And the food framework stands for, the F stands for fuel your brain with the right ingredients. So we need sustainable energy supplies. Your brain is sort of like, it is a supercomputer, but it's almost like a mobile phone. So Shemaine, if you have lots of apps open on your phone, what does your phone do?
It gets slower.
Yeah. Do you have to sometimes reboot it?
Yes, definitely.
Recharge it, put it on the charge?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So your brain works in a very similar way. If we've got too many apps open, it just overwhelms and we can't do anything, no matter how passionate or how important your next meeting or your next project is. If you've got nothing left in the tank, it's very, very hard to make change because you need energy.
Yes.
And the second thing is called organize your daily structure based on when you do your best thinking. So can I ask you, when do you do your best thinking? Are you a morning, afternoon, evening, or a combination? When do you have the best ideas?
I'm more of an evening person.
Yes, okay. And do you find that you have more quieter time in the evening? no one's bothering you as much, so you got time to think.
Yes, and that's very interesting, because before COVID, I find like I get a lot of my best ideas when I'm actually on the plane, when there's no distractions and I'm just unwinding, and that's when the ideas come.
So it's really important for every person that's listening to be able to understand, answer this question in your own head or write it down. Where do you do your best thinking? And how do you protect that time from distractions, both from self and from others? And as you know, with technology, technology is brilliant. And how lucky are we to have technology, particularly over the last 2 years, because I don't think we would have been able to conduct business as well as we have without it. But at the same token, a lot of distractions, a lot of pinging, lots of messaging, lots of emails, the whole gamut can be a huge distraction. And our deep thinking is absolutely critical, particularly with artificial intelligence coming on in. So to be able to problem solve, be creative, make effective decisions, we need to be able to have downtime and time where we can think and really process our ideas. The third one is overcoming obstacles with the brain in mind. And I think you and the audience will love this today, because I was inspired actually by my experience working for Trend Micro when we had to deal with incident response plans. And so this actual module is inspired by my learnings working in security and cybersecurity, with priming the brain for the known and the unknown. So like we do for an incident response plan, and thinking and mitigating of the known and the unknown risk, this is a tool and a model that I created, which the P stands for proactive protection. So prevention of known and unknown obstacles. The I is the incident response plan. So when a plan doesn't go to plan, have the path options available, including draft communication templates. It's sort of like a fire drill, so that you're priming your brain, because the brain seeks certainty. So Charmaine, would you believe, or do you want to have a guess, how many thoughts do you think you have on average per day?
Wow. Tens of thousands.
Yes, you're right. So pick, oh, really? So pick a number.
50,000.
Oh, are you sure you didn't know that answer?
Oh, it's just a random guess. What did I have?
So on average, it's between 50 to 70,000 thoughts on average per day. And the brain seeks certainty. And on average, 42% of that 50 to 70,000 thoughts is trying to predict what's going to happen next. The brain seeks certainty. So it's about, like what we do for an incident response plan, about trying to map out all the probable potential risk and what will we do if a risk happens. Because as you'll know, in cybersecurity world, that nothing's 100%. It changes overnight, right? So it's about being adaptable, but having a plan so that we're not in a threat state and we go, oh my God, what are we going to do? That we already have the options and the steps. It's like having a fire drill in your office. You know, do you remember those times when we all worked in the office and we had fire drill practice? So if there was a fire, what do you do? These are the steps.
Yeah.
We need to do that with the brain, so that the brain doesn't always freak out when a threat or something unknown happens. And so that we can actually get into, or obviously also remediation, which is learning from prior experiences and removing the obstacles in the future. So this is like the quarantine and prevent it from happening again. Does this sound like your world, Charmaine?
Yeah, it has such a resemblance. That's why I do have a few questions actually based on what you're sharing, but yeah, I'll let you finish that.
Yeah, so just to recap that one, just to say it again. So it's proactive protection. It's that incident response plan when the plan doesn't go to plan. And it's that remediation. So how can we take the learnings and apply it so that we're not doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result? And then the D in food is drive the right behaviors, which is mindset and passion for achieving your desired outcome. So how to rewire new behavioral habits, which is my area of specialty.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that, Vanessa. You know, I didn't want you to include any major spoilers from the book, but you've been very generous in your sharing. And, you know, you were talking about priming the brain, right? So if you were to take it in the context of our leaders who are in the world of managing cyber risk, that's even harder because, you know, it's about managing the unknowns. And on top of doing that as a daily task, they would also have to now prime their own brain. That's quite a lot of variables to look at. So how can understanding the neuroscience of leadership be useful and applicable for leaders in those contexts?
Yes. Yeah, so cybersecurity professionals and leaders are traditionally problem solvers. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And strategizing and planning is a huge part of that as well. Would you agree?
Definitely.
Yeah. So neuroscience insights really helps us to set up our brain to understand how it operates. Our brain is on autopilot 95% of the time. And it's based on that 95% is our subconscious built up on our habit center. So from the time we are little till now, we have learned what's good, what's bad. And what we've done is conditioned our brain to what puts us in a threat state, okay, and what puts us in a reward state. And the difference between the two from a neurochemical perspective is when we experience a threat, which is that whole fight, flight, freeze that we were talking about earlier, is that once we ignite a threat state, it actually sends cortisol, which is a stress hormone, to our prefrontal cortex, which is the part that we use for problem solving, strategizing, planning, analyzing, right? Critical part of our brain and a critical part of your job is when we experience a threat, what happens? It blocks it out. So what it does, it borrows the blood flow from this part of the brain, so your rational part of the brain, called the prefrontal cortex. And what it does, it actually sends that blood flow down to your heart and lungs, preparing you for either flight or that freeze response. And what happens is when you experience, so if everyone can think about a time that you experienced a threat, and it could be a deadline or a moved deadline, and you thought you didn't have a lot of time, and then you've been given less time to deliver, or you have something's happened with your car, or there's been an emergency somewhere and you've gone into a threat state, or you've had conflict with somebody, you know, you've had a disagreement with somebody.
Yep.
And it could be personally, it could be at work. It doesn't matter the scenario. Just think of a time where you were in a threat state.
There'll be plenty for our seesaws.
Yeah. And what happens, that means that the emotional center of your brain is in control and your rational part of the brain is then locked out. And what that means is that when you can't make good decisions in this state, right? You might make decisions, but they're not usually good ones, right?
Yeah.
And so that takes time. The cortisol takes time for that to actually calm down. It could be a couple of hours. It could be day. It depends on how traumatic that threat has been to you and how long it spirals within your head. Have you ever thought of a time, if whatever you thought of in your scenario, Shamae, did you ever think, oh, why did I say that? Or why didn't I do this? Have you ever experienced that?
I'm sure everybody actually experienced this.
So that is when your rational brain has been locked out. And so what happens then a few hours later or the next day, we then go, oh gosh, why did I do that? Or why didn't I do this? And with a reward is when we achieve something or we feel like we're making a difference. So the brain is a social organ. And regardless of whether you're introverted or extroverted, your brain loves to connect and it wants to feel like it's adding value and it belongs. Yeah. And so social connection is just so important, and particularly been impacted in different ways over the last couple of years. in different ways. There's pros and cons to that. Mm. But social connection is something that's really important. And that's because the brain is a social organ. The feeling of being part of something and adding value to something bigger than yourself is a really key drive for many brains, a large percentage of brains.
I like what you said about social connection, and that's really important because, you know, at the end of the day, when we look at cybersecurity professionals, we are all in it together. We are fighting the same war. It's all about giving back to the ecosystem, and it's not something that they should be doing alone. And I've seen a lot of silos happening, and it's not always the healthiest, and it's a stressful job for our security professionals. So it's really good what you're talking about, that we are all social creatures and we do need to have that human connection as well. And also another thing you talked about, they always say like the best time of exchanging business cards is not during a time of crisis. So that's where, as you mentioned, the brain is not really primed to handle things in a logical manner. So I really love what you shared. I just feel like I've just finished sitting in a science class.
So another thing to just add on to that, yeah, and as I was listening to you then, is that the importance of knowing that emotions are contagious. So I was saying that the brain is a social organ, but we are actually emotional beings that think, and not thinking beings that are emotional. So throughout my 20 years of working my way up the corporate IT business ladder, I was always taught that, you know, in business, it's not emotional, you know, it's all about rational, logical thinking, mm-hmm. analysis by paralysis, mm-hmm. almost. So for me, when I was learning neuroscience, I was really taken back to go, actually, everything goes through the emotional center of the brain, including how we show up in a crisis is really, really important, because if you turn up in a bad mood, and particularly if you're a leader of a team, that your mood can wipe out the productivity and your performance of your entire team, just like clicking your fingers. And it happens subconsciously, which is really, really amazing. And I'll tell you this story. I was on the train before COVID, and I was being a bit of a geek by reading the latest neuroscience research on the train, going to see a client of mine. Mm. And all of a sudden, and I was so busy reading this research report, but all of a sudden I bumped my head, and I'm like, why did I do that? And like, it was like I ducked it down, and I'm going, why did I do that? And I looked up, 2 seconds later, a man diagonally to me hit his head, and it was like I knew he was going to hit his head subconsciously. Okay. And it proved to me that emotions are contagious, that we can pick up stuff in others before it even happens to them. And I just never noticed it much before, until I started to see the research behind that actually regulating our emotions is really, really important, because it has such a huge impact if we turn up, or if we are in a crisis and we're not calm. We might be paddling our feet busy underneath, but we need to be like a duck on water and be calm on top, because calm is also contagious, particularly in a crisis. And particularly, I could imagine, mm-hmm. that would be a skill set.
Oh, it's a very important
skill. Had to master.
Thanks, Vanessa, for taking the time to share all of this with us. It is a topic that hasn't really been talked about as much as it should be, because if we want to equip our cyber risk leaders to fight battles well, they have to be in the right frame of mind. So, Vanessa, I think we ran out of time. We've come to the end of the podcast. Do you have any last words you just want to share for people to have a quick takeaway?
Yes. So a few tips for you to take away is, identify the threat and reward triggers for yourself and for your team, and understand what they look like and what it means, because no two brains are the same. And that's due to our spatial pattern code. It's a bit like your handprint. Shemaine and I could look at our handprint and see similar patterns, but they're not exactly the same. And this means that communication is the hardest thing on the planet to master, because what it means to one person means something different. I often have, and you'll all laugh at me, but I often have people say to me, why are people so stupid? And I laugh because I go, it's not that people are stupid. It's just what it means to you based on your belief system, your culture, your values, the way that you like to do things is different, and it means something different to somebody else. And and knowing what puts you in a reward state. So what makes you feel good makes you feel like you're achieving. And even if you're dealing with something difficult, you might not be there yet, but being able to break down those steps into chunks, right? So if you're working on a big project, and I've just been working with the head of IT security for Hearing Australia, and just helped him do exactly this, which was break down his goal into bite-sized chunks and be able to celebrate and understand what does it look like for you and for each of the people in your team to celebrate those wins. Because over the last 2 years, I don't think we've done enough celebrating. We're so busy. It's what I call the task epidemic. We're so busy moving on to the next thing that we don't take time to smell the roses, so to speak. And I think to be able to celebrate, and that's that social connection again, by coming together for a common purpose and understanding the why are we doing this? And look at us, we might not be there yet, but we're on our way and we're achieving. And this is where we get dopamine, which is the brain's happy drug. And the more we get of that will help us with our motivation to keep on going, even in tough times.
Wow.
This is what helps build our resilience.
Wow, you encourage the behaviors you celebrate. I really enjoy hearing you share all of this, and I just feel we can go on and on because it's so good. Thank you so much for taking the time to share all these gold nuggets with us. All listeners, you can always reach out to Vanessa on her LinkedIn if you're keen to continue the conversation. So thank you once again, Vanessa, for joining us on the show today. I really love how passionate you are. And thank you to our listeners as well. This episode is brought to you by the Mega C-Suite Stories podcast. So keep following us for more episodes. Take care, everyone.